Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to spend the first part of this time today, the first half of this message time, to tell you about the Africa trip. And then the last part of the message, I'm going to be talking about the election, which is coming up in just a few days. And so I'm going to give you some insight into the election and give you some wisdom regarding the vote and who maybe you should vote for and who you should be praying for. And so we're going to look at that in the last half of the message. First, I want to tell you about the Africa trip. And I took off the first week in July and took off with three Americans, a brother from Manhattan, a sister from Hutchinson, and a brother from out here at Selden, Kansas. And then we ended up in Mumias after landing in Nairobi. We ended up in Mumias, Kenya, out in West Kenya. And we stayed out there for about 8 or 9 days working on the orphanage project. And it was such a blessing to be able to take this team with me. They blessed me in so many ways. And before I forget about it, I want to offer an invitation to each and every one of you listening to me today. If you hear my voice and you have any desire to go to Africa, if you have any desire to serve the kingdom of God and do something great and mighty for the kingdom, step out of your comfort zone. I think it would be great for you to pray about going to Africa with me. I'll be going back in the summer in July, and I've already had many people inquire about going. There's a momentum building and inertia building for the kingdom work there that Gather the Outcast Ministry is doing. And so I invite each and every one of you listening today, or if you know somebody, a friend or family member that might be interested, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Go to my website, gatheroutcast.com. You can get in touch with me with the contact information there. And consider going. The cost, it will be approximately $3,500 per person. And that includes all your round-trip airfare from Kansas City to Nairobi and return trip, and then also it includes all the bus travel in Kenya or planes if we fly out to Mumias, and it includes all your meals, hotel expenses, everything that is a fixed expense, your visa, all of that is taken care of, and that will also include some money for some construction projects or some work projects. We have two different projects going on over there in Kenya near Mumias. Mumias is a city of 50 to 100,000. It's out in West Kenya near the Uganda border. And we have two projects going on there. The first one is to aid and support the New Hope Christian School, a preschool for about 30 children. And we're wanting to double the size of that school to expand it. We already have a room rented or another spot rented so that the school can double and expand. And so we're in the process of making an expansion there, that school. These are children that are ages 3, 4, 5, and 6, and they are being given a Christian education at this school. They've been given a good food to eat, new uniforms, school books, pencils, paper, everything they need for a real nice school there. They're from very poor families. Most of these children don't have shoes. Many of them do not have good food to eat, and so we're feeding them good every day and taking care of them. But most importantly, we're teaching them about the love of Jesus, and so they're learning all the Bible stories. There's even Muslim children going to this school, and they are learning about Jesus. Their parents bring them there, even knowing that they're going to be taught about Jesus, because they have food for them, and also they know they're going to be taught their ABCs and be given a good pre-start education. And so this school is an asset to the community, and it's an asset to the church. Our partner church there in Kenya is New Hope Fellowship in Mumias. And so this school is an offshoot or an affiliation with the New Hope Fellowship there in Mumias. And so it's a good way to reach the families. It's a good way to evangelize and proselytize And through these children, you can reach their parents, you can reach their families. And so that is the first project. And when we get the new room finished, the new room fixed up with electricity and paint on the wall and cleaned up, we're going to start to reach out to the community, and we'll have another 30 children. We'll have to hire another teacher or two. But that is going to be an ongoing project. If you think you'd be interested in sponsoring one of these children, the fee is $20 per month or $240 per year, and you can sponsor a child. We'll actually get you an individual child, pair you up with a child, and you'll know his name or her name, and you can pray for that child and get to know them in a more intimate way. And so that is an opportunity for those of you who want to see the kingdom come and the kingdom be boosted there in the Mumias area. And then second project that we have is the orphanage project, the Little Living Water Orphanage Project. And this is a plot of land that we have purchased over at Macunda, a village called Macunda. And it's about 2 or 3 kilometers away from the church and from the preschool. And so we have 4 acres of nice land purchased there. We've owned it now for about 3 years. And it's a beautiful plot of land. It's farmable, good soil. The top 2 acres is kind of reddish loam, sandy loam soil. And the bottom 2 acres, there's an elevation drop-off, and then there's a bottom 2 acres down along a creek that is good black soil, very rich. And we have the whole plot now planted in red beans and in maize and also sweet potatoes. And we have about 50 fruit trees planted on the place. We have banana and mango and avocado, orange, papaya, lemon. And so it's going to be a very good site for an orphanage for the children. We have just this week, we're going to be starting on pouring the foundation. We have the foundation laid out, the footings all dug, the ditches dug, and so they're going to be putting rocks and cement in the ditches and fill those up, and that will be the foundation for a house that will hold about 30 to 40 children, and we'll be applying to the government of Kenya to receive children that they take off the streets or children that may be in homes where there isn't enough money to feed them. And so this is going to be an ongoing project for many, many years to come. This project is going to be the template for other orphanages that I believe God wants us to build. And I already have a pastor network in Kenya and in other countries, in fact, to build more orphanages in the future. And so I see this as an integral part of Gather the Outcast ministry. I see this as an integral part of what God wants me to do to build his kingdom here on this earth. And I'm going to be the conduit coming back and forth from America to Africa and speaking to people, speaking to churches, speaking to individuals. And this is going to be my calling in the days ahead, not only in Africa, but it will be my calling here in America, is to reach out to people and to enlist support and provision for the children in Africa. Just in Kenya alone, there are 2 million orphan children, and in other countries altogether in Africa, they say there's maybe 40, 50 million orphans. It's a huge number because primarily of the HIV/AIDS epidemic that swept through Africa in the 90s and in the year 2000, and there's still a high incidence, a high prevalence of HIV/AIDS in all of these countries. In Kenya, it's about, I think, about 6 to 8% of the people are HIV positive. At one time, it was over 10%. And so there will be an ongoing need for these children. Some of the young girls are sleeping on the streets, and men prey upon them, take them into their homes, and you can imagine what happens after that. And so it is our desire to get these children off the streets. Many of them come from Muslim families. Maybe they're abandoned because they have no food and they can't be fed and their families. And so many of them come from Muslim families. And so we'll be taking these children off the streets and putting them in the home. And then Word of God will be taught to them, the stories of the Bible, and they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They'll have a relationship with Jesus as their Lord. He is a good father to the orphans and the widows, and so many of these children are going to be blessed. And I just want to be obedient to the Lord and be a conduit and keep building these orphanage projects in Kenya. And so we have a house built now out on the orphanage site, out on the 4-acre site. We have a small house built, and we have a watchman there established in the house. He's also our farmer, and so God is moving, and I just invite each and every one of you also to participate in this project. If there's any questions that you would have, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know your questions. And again, I invite you to go over there, take a look at it firsthand, so you can see for yourself all the good things that God is doing and all the great things that He is doing through Gather the Outcast Ministry and our partner church, New Hope Fellowship, over there in Kenya. And so if you think you would be interested in this orphanage project, we need $50,000 to build the main house, and that will be a turnkey project. We'll be ready to move in with that amount of money. And so if you think you would like to make a donation, we would love to talk with you and let you know and show you the blueprints. I have the blueprints here with me, and let you know what is going on with that orphanage project. Another thing that is very unique about this piece of land in Kenya is that it has a beautiful spring, and in this part of Africa, there's a few springs. They're not very common, but there's a few springs. But God has just blessed us with this beautiful spring, and we built a retaining wall up against this bank where the spring comes out, and then put big boulders behind the retaining wall and a piece of plastic over the boulders, and then put the dirt over the top of the plastic. And so when the water comes up in that ditch where the spring is, when the water comes up out of the earth, it pours out through 2-3-inch pipes that are coming out of the retaining wall. And so people come there from all over that area with their big jugs. They have big yellow jugs that carry about 5 gallons of water in each jug, maybe 7 gallons. And lines of women are coming to the spring, and other people are coming there to get their water for drinking, and their water for laundry, and their water for cooking. It's beautiful, crystal clear water, and it's drinkable right out of the spigot there, right out of the pipe. I've drank it many times. It's very sweet. And so God has provided an amazing resource there for us. It's running about 10,000 to 15,000 gallons a day. And so when we get the house built, then we'll put a pump on the spring and pump the water up to the top of the hill, about a 400-foot horizontal pump, and then a vertical of about 30 to 40 feet to the top of the hill. And so in Africa, where people carry water everywhere they go to accomplish their daily needs, many, many people, probably 90% of the people in Africa, carry water every day from one place to another. And so that is a blessing that God has given us there, to have fresh water right there on the orphanage site. Well, after working at the orphanage site for 9 days, we went to the Masai Mara, the big wildlife refuge park in southern Kenya, and spent 3 days down there. We saw 10 lions in one day, and lots of giraffes, elephants, wildebeest, zebra, or Africa buffalo, every kind of animal that you can think of, cheetahs. And we didn't see any rhinos. We saw hippos. But that is also part of the trip. If you, again, think you might be interested in going, that will be part of your trip, to go down to the Masai Mara and see the big animals. And then after that, we went back to Nairobi. I put the American team on the plane, and they took off then back for America, and with many memories and a lifetime experience to change their life and to encourage them in their walk. And just about all of the people who were involved in that project, nearly all of them that I've talked to, they want to go back again next year. So if you think you, again, would like to go, get in touch with me, because I can only take a limited number of people, and so we're not going to be able to accommodate everybody that wants to go, probably. So at any rate, I put the team on the plane. They went back to America. Then I flew to Burundi. From there, through Kigali, Rwanda, and into Burundi, I preached a three-day crusade and a training, a youth conference during the day, and then preached a three-day crusade in Ngozi, a two-hour ride outside of Bujumbura, the capital, and we had great crowds there. The last day we had 15,000 people, maybe 20,000 there at the crusade. Many people got healed, many people got delivered, and came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then from there I went back to Kigali and over to Congo. I was hoping to get into Congo, but never did get my visa approved. I waited in Gisenyi, Rwanda for 2 weeks waiting to get the visa approved, but it never did come through. But I had a team established over in Butembo in northeast Congo, and the team went on with the crusade. My disciple over there is Augustine Muhindo, and he's Congolese, lives in Kampala, Uganda, and he went over to Butembo to organize the crusade over there. They had a great crusade. 15 to 20,000 people just about every day came out for the crusade, and so that also was a three-day crusade, and they had many, many salvations. The governor actually came, the mayor of Butembo. Butembo's a city of 700,000 people, so the government officials were there. They laid hands on them and prayed for them, had many salvations, and so it was a great crusade, and I'm seeing that the Lord can work. He told me it's not so important who the speaker is, that I shouldn't be offended by not being able to get there. The important thing is the message. The important thing is that people come to know the Lord Jesus, and so there was people there in my behalf and in my stead that took up the mantle and carried on with great success. So then from Rwanda, I went back to Nairobi, and one of my brothers there in Nairobi, Sammy Bosire or Sammy Bosana, we went to Oyugis in southern Kenya, and we preached a crusade down there in his home village. I was actually the first white man ever to step foot in his home village. It was in a mountainous area outside of Oyugis, and so we had a miraculous thing happen there. I prayed for a man who had been drunk and out of his mind for many, many years. He was just considered to be the village idiot and the village drunk, and I prayed for him, laid hands on him, prayed for him, and God broke off that spirit of drunkenness, that spirit of addiction off of him, and put his right mind back into him. And he came to church the next Sunday, and people couldn't believe it was even the same man. They just were astounded and shocked that this man, who people had written off as unredeemable and unsavable, he came to church and he was in his right mind and praising and worshiping the Lord. So God did a mighty work there in Oyugis. And then from there I went up to Mumias and worked on the orphanage site. Each day I went out there, worked, did some hoeing, and just hung out at the farm. It was a great time of refreshing and relaxing. And so God really blessed me to have good health this time in Africa. I didn't have any sickness, so that was a real blessing, because I've had to deal with sickness, foodborne illness, or waterborne illness, and this year I stayed strong and had a lot of time to rest when I was working there at the orphanage site. Well, the last outreach that we did was over in Kilifi on the coast. Sammy and I went over there. We spent a week at Kilifi. We had a crusade there, and Kilifi is just down the coast from Somalia. It's heavily populated with Muslims, and so it wasn't a great crowd there at the crusade, but we did have some great victories there. Many people got prayed for. Many people got healed. We had some salvation decisions, some people that came forward out of the Muslim faith, and they came forward to confess their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we had some great victories there. We'll keep going back to Kilifi and hammering on that Muslim stronghold there, and God will open up more doors. I met a pastor there in Kilifi who was from Nairobi, and he invited me to preach at his church in Nairobi, and he's also a record producer. And when I played my guitar and led worship in his church in Nairobi the last week I was in Kenya. He was surprised to hear that I could lead worship and sing, and so he has invited me to record a CD with his company. And so next summer when I go back, I will be recording a CD and we'll take that into Tanzania. He has many connections with singers from Tanzania. He produces their records and their CDs, and so I'm going to be going into Tanzania next summer. We're going to be preaching a crusade or two there, maybe some church revivals, pastor conferences, and I'll be taking a CD with me that has been produced in his studio. And so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be new territory for me. And so the last event was preaching in his church in Kangemi, suburb of Nairobi. And then also I did a Keisha with over 100 university students from several different universities there in Nairobi. We did a Keisha the last Friday that I was in Kenya, an all-night prayer and worship service. And that Keisha was very powerful. Before the morning was over, people were dancing to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. It was a time of prayer, a time of worship, a time of praise. But most importantly, it was a time to tear down strongholds in Kenya and to release the Spirit of the Lord over that nation through these university students. And so all in all, the trip to Kenya was a wonderful trip, and the other Africa countries. I also preached over in Uganda, in Kampala, at Augustine's home church, my Congolese friends over there, and we had a very powerful church revival over there. And I preached in many churches in the Mumias area while I was resting there in Mumias. I preached in four or five different churches there, and so God just continued to bless me and allow me to rest and give me strength. And so, supporters, you are a part of the mission over there. You are a part of seeing the kingdom of God come to fruition and expand its territory over there in Africa. And so I thank you for your support. I thank you for all of you who have supported me over the years. And I invite you to continue to support us as we go to Africa every year and preach and work on the orphanage side, work with the school children at the preschool. And so, I invite all of you listening to me today, consider this, pray about, maybe you can go with us. And if not, then you can help send those who want to go. Well, I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the election. It's coming up this week. This is a very important election, as you know. God has exposed the darkness in both of these candidates and brought the darkness to light. And so there are many things about the candidates that we see as flaws and we object to, but this is all part of God's plan to reveal what is going on in the darkness in their lives. And but more than anything else, I believe this election is about the sanctity of human life. More than anything else, this is the issue that is on the heart of our Father God. He is a father to the orphans and the widows. He is a father to the unborn. And so more than anything else, there's two issues that I think are standing out in this election. And you'll know after I talk about them for just a minute what these issues are and how they relate to the candidates. The first issue is the sanctity of human life. Jesus said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our own image." That was Jesus and God speaking together. In heaven, when they created man, they said, "Let us make man in our own image." And so every person born on this earth, unborn, born, every child unborn and born is created in the image of God, in the image of his creator. And so this is the most important issue. What are the party platforms that have to do with this issue? This is the premier, preeminent issue for every nation, every tribe, and every tongue all over the world. And so I ask you to consider, when you think about the platforms of the two parties, the two major candidates, I ask you to consider, what is their position regarding the unborn and abortion, the killing of the unborn? And I think if you pray about it and ask the Lord about it, he will show you which candidate is standing for the unborn, which candidate is defending the unborn. It's all about platforms. It's about your political affiliation with a party and not so much the person, because both of these persons are flawed. Both of these persons have a lot of things to object to. But when you start thinking about defending the unborn, it's obvious to me which party and which platform then is the one to support. And the second issue is right behind the heels of the first in Genesis 1:28. After God created them male and female, he says, "Let them multiply and replenish the earth and take dominion over the animals, the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle on the hills." And so God wants to bring man and woman together for the purpose of creation, for the purpose of producing the next generation of godly people. And so God is the one who has instituted marriage between man and woman. He is the one who has instituted this sacred marriage and this covenant of marriage between himself and a man and a woman. And so the party and the persons who support traditional marriage between one man, one woman, these are the people who I want to support. These are the people I want to put my vote with. And so you can look at the parties and pray about what God wants to have you to do with this issue. And to me, it's very obvious which party supports the traditional marriage. It's not that we don't love people of other persuasions. We don't hate people. We're not homophobes. We're not haters of people. But when God's will is declared, and it is in his Holy Bible, in his Holy Word, his will is declared, and so it's obvious to me which party supports traditional marriage, which party supports the idea that marriage can only be between one man, one woman, and it is for the purpose of creating the next generation of those who would love the Lord and who would seek the Lord. Well, those are the two major issues. There's other issues, of course, economic issues, issues of border security and national security, foreign policy, many, many issues. But the two preeminent ones are the ones I just spoke of, and those are the ones that I consider to be the ones that will determine this election. Well, Gather the Outcast is doing some great things, not to boast any on myself, but God has just opened up many doors for this ministry. I invite you to be a part of that. I invite you to help support this radio broadcast each and every week. And I invite you to support the Africa Mission, the building of the orphanage over there, the sponsoring of children. If there's any way that you'd like to get involved, email me, purepray@hotmail.com. If you make a donation to this ministry, we'll send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And you can read that book and see a little bit about what's going on there in the revivals and the crusades now in 5 countries in East Africa. Information for contact, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.